May it please the court. I'm John Linderman, appearing here on behalf of the patent owner, Susan McKnight, Inc., and we are seeking a reversal of a decision from the Patent and Trademark File and Appeal Board, the PTAB, that was rendered in conjunction with an IPR. They held all the claims of the patent invalid, and we feel that there are numerous errors that are not supported by substantial evidence in the case, and that there are frequent instances where they're actually drawing upon the 917 patent, that's the patent in suit here, by way of hindsight to fill in some of the gaps that, in the prior art. First of all, the patent deals here with a very unique type of bedbug trap. Now this is not esoteric, not high tech and stuff like that, but it's a very simple structure that enables the trap to discriminate between bed bugs that are located in one area of the room that's infested and another trap that enables the detection of bed bugs that are in the bed. And specifically, the two areas of the trap are made up with pitfall traps. That's where the bed bugs fall into the traps. And those traps are not replicated in any of the art.
Your traps, and one of the reasons you say is because the sides are smooth, so the bed bugs can't get out. Can I just ask you a fundamental question? I mean, I think one of the arguments you say this invention is worthwhile because then the consumer, whoever lives in the house, can kind of figure out where the source of the bed bug problem is coming with. Can I just ask you an ignorant question, which is, if the bed bugs are coming from the leg of the bed and they can't get out on the sides because they're smooth, why wouldn't they just climb back up the leg and get to their victims, which are the people sleeping in the bed? So, and if that's the case, then wouldn't it defeat your notion that, well, people will be able to ascertain which bed bugs, if any, are coming from the bed if they've all gone back to bed, right?
That's correct, Your Honor. You're correct. They could go back up into the bed.
So how would this invention work? You're saying one of the purposes is so that someone living in the house can figure out whether the bed bugs came from somewhere else or from the bed, if, in fact, that retainer at the leg is not retaining the bed bugs and they're all going back. It's going to be empty.
Yeah, thank you. It's because that the habits of the bed, this trap is designed by a couple of entomologists. They are aware of the characteristics of bed bugs. Bed bugs abhor sunlight. They're nocturnal insects. They come out at night and they go and feast on the human being in the bed. And then
the bait, as we call them.
When they're done feasting, it takes them an hour or so, it's usually after midnight, they go back down and go back into their hiding places, their places of refuge, which are someplace in the room. This is the habit. You're correct, Your Honor, that they could turn around and go back up into the bed and try to find a hiding place there, and this trap would not connect with those type of bed bugs. But that's not their normal habit.
But they're not, but you're precluding them from going to their regular places of refuge because they can't get out of these smooth walls. They can't climb up. So they've got no choice other than to stay there in the light or to climb back up in bed, right?
But they don't. That's not their habit. Their habit is to go find hiding places in cracks in the walls or under the...
But they can't get out, right? Because the smooth walls are
no,
in this...
But that's their tendency, is to try to do that. They are trying to hiding from the sunlight. They don't
so
like...
So what's the psychology of bed bugs? In the absence of their being able to go back to their hiding places, are they just going to stay on the outside? Or are they going to go back up the legs?
Some of them may stay, but others would remain trapped in the inner... pitfall trap.
But if that's... I'm sorry, man.
Got you.
Yeah.
No, I'm done.
If that's true, then it would seem to me that the same thing would happen if you put the bed leg into section marked G of the Jenrich prior art, would it not? Because then if you put the bed leg...
Yes.
Into section G of the Jenrich prior art, wouldn't exactly the same thing happen as long as you either smoothed the edges of section G so that the bed bugs couldn't get out of that? Wouldn't that have the same result?
Are you thinking about the section G being the bait receptacle? Yes.
Of the generate prior art. Of
figure
five.
That would happen also. It could. But the fact is there's no teaching in any of the prior art to put a bed leg in any trap.
So that's, you think, the biggest difference between the prior art and your invention is the teaching to put a bed leg into the center section, again, of, say, figure five of generate?
No, that's not the only difference.
All right.
There are a couple primary differences. One is there are two pitfall traps, not one. And I know the patent office may disagree with that, but there's no pitfall.
Well, I guess my question really is, it doesn't putting the leg into section G convert section G into a pitfall trap of generate?
It could do that if there were teachings in the art to place the trap under the leg of the table.
Yeah, but that brings us back to the first point, which is, isn't that the main difference between the prior art and your invention, is the idea of putting the leg into the center section? Because you're saying that if you do put the leg in the center section, then the center section becomes a pitfall trap, and now you have a two pitfall trap.
Well, there's a few other things, Your Honor.
Okay, what are the others?
The other things, that's not designed to capture bed bugs. That has no slippery surfaces. It does not
have... Okay, that's the slippery surface argument.
That's right.
The slippery slope argument.
Or some alternative, such as Jenrich teaches that he could put in what he called paralyzing powder, which is what he does put in the outer pitfall trap to keep the insects in there. But there's no teaching. The section G that you're talking about is a bait receptacle. There's no reason to have slippery surfaces there. There's no reason to have a paralyzing powder in there. So just putting the legs in would not do it because the structure, contrary to, I realize, the position of the patent office, the structure of that bait receptacle is not a pitfall trap. There's a key element missing. The finding of the PTAB was all you needed to have was vertical walls and a floor, and that would define the structure.
The slick vertical walls is what they found, as I understand it.
The what?
For the connection between the prior art, the reason that the prior art was deemed to render this claim obvious is not just walls, but slick walls or slippery walls.
No, right? I think the original finding was they assumed that the structure of two pitfall traps is already in Jenrich, even though he doesn't discuss it.
Right.
But they're missing the fact that the vertical walls do not form a pitfall trap. You have to have something else, like slippery surfaces or the powder, to disable the climbing ability of the insects.
But that was my understanding was, and correct me if this is wrong, but my understanding was that the slippery surface was an added element to Jenrich so that you end up with obviousness based on both the generous structure and slippery walls. Otherwise, generous would have been anticipating.
That is correct. You have to add that.
Right.
But
right.
That had to be a teaching somehow. There had to be a motivation to cause the person of ordinary skill in the art to add slippery surfaces. And what we're saying is there is no motivation to do that for several reasons. One is, if you look at Jenrich, and again, we're starting with Jenrich, which is, I call it a single pitfall trap. It has a bait receptacle in the middle. It relies upon bait to attract the insects in there. But there's no way the insects would ever reach the bait receptacle. The catching space, which is H, I think, in Jenrich, totally surrounds the bait receptacle.
Unless you put a bed leg in the middle of the generate structure.
Yeah, but where's that suggestion come from? That comes from our patent. That's hindsight, Your Honor.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the main errors that is in the PTAB there.
Okay.
There's another element that's related to that where they also relied upon hindsight. the bed or the floor of that bait receptacle was supposed to be support leg type floor. That's a limitation in the claim. That's a structural limitation to the floor of the bait receptacle in order for the leg from a table or a chair or a bed in order to be supported in that. And that doesn't come from any of the prior art. That solely comes, the teaching of making that floor a support structure, that comes entirely from the 973 patent as well. So that's a second element where they rely upon hindsight to anticipate the claims and give motivation to the person of ordinary skill in the art to convert Generich into a double pitfall trap instead of the single pitfall trap, which it is. Okay. There are some other problems also with the PTAB's ruling. One of the limitations is that the bait trap is the trap that we claim is bait free. They rely upon one of the yokes, so not Generich. Generich works on a baited trap, that's for sure. Jennings reference is a trap that is also a pitfall trap. It's a single pitfall trap. Again, I want to emphasize none of the prior art has a double pitfall trap. None of the traps in the prior art have any sort of a, because they don't have double pitfall traps, they don't have the ability to discern between bed bugs in the bed versus bed bugs elsewhere in the room.
You agree Jennings is slippery or polished?
I agree. That does teach the slippery surface to capture traps. The problem is, I was off on the issue of bait-free. Did you want me to address the slippery?
No.
Okay. They're relying upon Jennings for the teaching that the trap can be bait-free. That is another error without substantial evidence to support the position, because Jennings is silent on whether or not it uses traps. As you all know, patents are just written to describe the invention. They don't have to describe all the environment and everything that's around it. And consequently, it's improper when a patent is silent on a particular issue, such as whether there's bait is used or not. You cannot draw negative inferences that it is bait-free. But the PTAB didn't do that. They did, in fact, draw upon Jennings and assume that it is bait. It teaches a bait-free trap. That's not proper teaching and any motivation to the person of ordinary skill in the art to actually make the bait-free trap out of our device. There's also, beyond that, there's another limitation that's, I guess we already covered it, is the idea that, I'm running out of time here. I think I'd like at this point to reserve my time for rebuttal, Your Honor.
Yes,
thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. As this court recognized, Jenner expressly discloses every structural limitation of the claim. Bed bug trap, except Jennerich does not expressly disclose whether central space G's walls are smooth. The board correctly found that a person of ordinary skill in the art would have been motivated to make those walls smooth. And the remainder of the arguments that my friend makes are directed towards intended uses, which are not sufficient to distinguish the patentably distinguish the claimed invention from Generich's trap. Turning briefly to the smooth walls, the motivation for making smooth walls, the board found that both central space G and catching space K were pitfall traps by virtue of...
Doesn't the patent itself say that smooth walls are recognized in the art?
Yes, that's where I was going. That's what the board said, that this would have been an obvious design choice to make these steep, deep canyons or pitfall traps that are already present in Generich smooth.
Deep canyons if you're a bed bug.
if you're a bed bug. But even so, Jenrich discloses that his traps will work for beetles and cockroaches, which I think it's common knowledge are bigger than bed bugs. And so, they're deep if you're a bug, and that they will catch insects, and that making the walls smooth or adding paralyzing powder, which is not a neurotoxin or any sort of physiological...
What about putting the bed lead in one of the traps?
That's an intended use that they're relying on. And that intended use it doesn't distinguish the structure that we have here. It's just that you could put a bed lug in there. But by the way, the claims don't require that a bed lug be in there. Or they say a bed lug or another object. And the specification explains that the bed lug doesn't even have to be in there. The claims say it only needs to be capable of putting a bed lug in there, but the specification teaches us...
Is there bait other than people?
Well, humans just being in the room, apparently, within 5 feet of the trap, according to their specification, is enough to attract bed bugs. And their specification expressly teaches that you can use the claim trap with a furniture leg in it or just near where people are. I mean, that's an express teaching in the specification. Let me...
And you think that claim... Well, go ahead. Why don't you find the...
Oh, it's just... You can continue asking, and I'll try to...
You can multitask. Okay,
if...
Go ahead.
I'm so sorry. If you look at the appendix at A163 at column 3, for example, and it's taught in column 4 as well, if you look around line 35, it would say the device can be placed on the floor adjacent to furniture or other object to intercept the crawling arthropods. And in column 4, again, it says it at line 39, the intercepting device can be placed on the floor or ground adjacent to an object. So all the claim requires is that central space G or something falling within the scope of these claims be capable of receiving a furniture leg.
So you would interpret the language of claim 1, which reads in part, support leg receiving receptacle, as not meaning that the support, that the receptacle has to be supporting a leg, but only capable of supporting a leg, and it could be used in any other context.
Yes, that's what the board found.
You would infringe claim 1 even if there were no leg in the room, if you just had a structure that had the internal section as well as the outer trap. That would be enough to infringe, in your view.
I would answer that in two ways. The first is that's the way the board construed it, and secondly, that's the way that it makes sense as far as an infringement context is concerned. And that's because if you're selling these traps, you're not also going to be selling the furniture leg. You're not doing that. And
right,
so if you want to embrace an accused infringer, you want to be able to snare someone for direct infringement, and in order to do that, they're not going to be selling a furniture leg with their accused device.
No, but you could imagine a situation where, and maybe this claim does or doesn't read on that, but you could imagine a patentee writing the claim to require the presence of the leg in order to get around prior art, perhaps, or perhaps anticipating that that's the only sensible use, and therefore you'd be inducing infringement if you said, here's the best way to use the trap. So, I mean, it doesn't seem to me impossible to imagine, to read this language to suggest that the leg has to be there. But your contention is that's not the way the board is reading it.
Well, I think that's, an overly narrow reading, especially since the claims state that it aren't just limited to a furniture leg. They're a furniture leg or other object, which is... That's a huge genus or other object. There's no, I mean, if you look at the specification of examples of other objects, it could be a bed, sofa, chair, kitchen appliances, a walker, a wheelchair, wheels parked on devices, computers, TV, stereos, electronic devices, or other equipments. I mean, this is it's a whole lot of things that the claim device could have inserted into the first pitfall trap, or could be placed near, because again, that language is listed in the specification in column 4 alongside the language where we're talking about something being just adjacent to. So while that might be a reasonable reading, the board's reading is also reasonable, and for that reason, should be entitled to some deference.
And we're still in the universe in which broadest reasonable interpretation.
Yes, we are. Okay. Yes, we are. Okay. Although I think we would still have a winning case if we were under the district court claim construction standard. Do your honors have any questions related to these other issues? I would just like to, there was one thing that I did also want to point out in response to this notion of bait-free, and that is that Jenrich's claim 1 does not require bait, and Jenrich expressly teaches that bait is not part of his invention. A person of ordinary skill in the art would still be motivated to make central space G's walls smooth with or without bait, so that any insect reaching that, either coming down from a furniture leg or making it over the bodies of other bugs to get to central space, G would similarly be trapped in this deep cavern with a narrow bottom. Thank you.
Your Honor, I could...
Mr. Linderman, before you get into your rebuttal, I just want to make sure that you and Ms. Kelly are on the same page with respect to the scope of Claim 1. Do you believe that Claim 1 is infringed by the trap itself, irrespective of whether it is happens to be used with a leg at a particular time? Or do you think that the leg has to be present in order for Claim 1 to...
Your Honor, I guess I do agree with her. We do not feel that the leg has to be present.
Okay.
But what we do say is that support leg receiving characteristic is an affirmative description of the structure of the bed. That is a requirement, and that is not found in any of the prior art. None of the prior art talks about putting this trap under a bed leg. That only comes by way of hindsight from the 973 patent. So,
go ahead.
That is a structural requirement,
I think,
in order for infringement. But the leg, no, doesn't have to be there in order to be. The other thing, I'm not sure whether I heard Ms. Kelly properly saying that Jenrich in one embodiment doesn't require bait. I'm not sure whether that was correct or not, but Jenrich is a baited trap. You take the bait away from Jenrich, there's nothing to attract the insects to cause it to go into the trap and get captured in its capturing space.
Well, your friend seemed to say that, and your patent seems to say it, that if humans are within a few feet, they act as bait even if they're not little tiny humans right in the middle of the trap.
I don't quite see that, because in order for the Jenrich trap to operate and be effective in capturing the insects, it doesn't have to be bed bugs, any type of insects, they have to fall into the catching space. So he talks about catching space K. And the mere fact they're in that area and there may be something attracting the insects to that area doesn't get them into the capturing space. And therefore, we think that the limitation of the bait is, in fact, mandatory in either an embodiment of the Jenrich trap. He's got the bait receptacles in both Figure 1 and Figure 5. I think that's the end of my time.
Thank you. We thank both sides, and the case is submitted.